Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. We're going to be digging into a few people, a few stories and situations from the book of 1 Samuel this month. And it's all about unexpected outcomes or surprise situations. Having the expectation that things are going to work out one way and then it works out some other way. And so I'd like you all to pull out your Bibles or pull out your cell phones, whatever you use to dig into the scriptures. And I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament, and it is classified as one of the historical books. This is one of the books of the Bible that has more story, the history of Israel outlined in it. And so we are going to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to talk about a pretty famous story that most of us here are familiar with, and even if you're not familiar with the story in the Bible, you're familiar probably with some of the ideas or the characters in it. Before we get into the content of that passage, one of the themes about this story that I want us to understand and kind of relate to is the idea of opposition. That sometimes we do things in our lives and we come up against obstacles, things that get in our way, and we've got to deal with those obstacles. And sometimes they feel like very big obstacles. What we are not talking about today is when you have a personal goal that is just your own idea, your own agenda, your own desire, and something comes up against that. That's not what we're talking about. If you are like, I want to be able to save up to buy a brand new car, or I want to be able to get that job, or I want to do 600 push-ups, or whatever it is that you have as a personal goal, that is not what I'm talking about, okay? We are not digging into the opposition that you face and the struggles you face in those personal goals and ambitions that you carry. What we are talking about today is when you have something in your life that God wants you to deal with, or a step He wants you to take, and then the enemy of God's plan for your life comes in and opposes you. So if there's sin in your life, either something that's there and you just haven't confessed, you're not dealing with, or it's an addiction you've been fighting and it's really hard to get out of your life, whether that's can be something like pornography and lust. It can be about being flippant with your sexual relations. It can be lying. It can be cheating. It can be pride. It can be greed. It can be hatefulness or bitterness, or it can be looking down on other people. It can be about violating other people with your words and your actions. It can be about abusing people, putting them down, or attacking them. It can be all sorts of things, but there's a sin in your life, and you have either been trying to beat it and you haven't been able to beat it, or it's something that you have been trying not to think about and just leave it existing in your life. And it's there, and you know you need to deal with it, but there's something that's keeping you from being able to deal with it or from appropriately dealing with it. It might be a situation where God has actually called you to take a significant step of faith. Maybe that's moving, maybe that's changing jobs, maybe that's doing something different with your money. You're supposed to be giving or tithing, and you're like, how am I supposed to do that? Maybe you're supposed to give to a missionary, or you're supposed to just change how you run your financial system, and it's not supposed to be about how you can just beef up your accounts, or you gotta, maybe God is just saying you've got to go talk talk to that person, or you've got to start that conversation with those people, or you've got to share your faith at work, or something. He's calling you to take some sort of step of faith, and you just feel opposed. You feel an opposition, and it's really hard to take that step of faith. Or it may just be that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. You are living the life that God has called you to live, and you're taking those steps of faith, and you are facing that sin, and you are getting rid of that sin, and you're trying to lead your family well, but it seems like you're continue to take those steps of faith, you continue to move in that direction, and then you start getting hit and hit and hit by the enemy. The car breaks, the roof starts leaking, somebody gets mad at you at work, you lose your job, your finances aren't what they're supposed to be, some key relationships in your life start to either get really, really messy, or they start to fall apart, or maybe somebody in your family starts making really bad decisions, and they start going way off left field, and you're like, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? How could this be happening? Maybe you talk to the doctor and you've got cancer, or you're sick, or somebody in your family is sick, and it feels like I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Why is all this bad stuff happening? That's the kind of opposition that I'm talking about, okay? Can we all relate to some number one something? Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the story of David and Goliath. And basically what happens is the Israelites go to war with another nation called the Philistines, or the Philistines. And they meet on the battlefield. And the Philistines have this giant of a man. And he comes out and he shouts to everybody. And he says, guys, we're here to fight. Why don't you send your best guy out to fight me? Why don't you send him out to fight me? And whoever wins, wins the war. And the Israelites hide, and they hide in their tents. David shows up. Goes, what are you guys doing? We can do this. He goes out with his slingshot and goes, pew! Knocks Goliath down, and the battle's over, and everybody has a happy day. That's basically how the story goes, right? Sort of. So in 17, starting in verse 8, this is what it says. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you are not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. You know, I've known this story my whole life. I've heard it how many times? I don't know how many times. But as I was looking at it in preparation for this, there was something weird that stood out to me. Saul is the king of Israel. And Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, points out that Saul was the type of king where he was constantly recruiting strong warriors for his army. Constantly. War was on his mind. He had the best army he could have. And up until the time where he disobeyed God, he was the type of man to go charging ahead with his prepared army right into battle and just let them have it. But we get to this story, and Saul and his army cowers. They hide from Goliath. And this goes on for days and days. 40 days. Goliath comes out, shouts this challenge to Israel, and they just cower in fear. Then David shows up, looks around with this confused look. And this is what ends up happening. Is in 17, chapter 17, starting in verse 45, he's finally looked at the situation, he's figured out the situation, he's like, no, I'm gonna go fight Goliath. I'm going to put an end to this. And this is what happens, okay? David said to the Philistine, Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army, not just Goliath, the Philistine army, to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you, not just Goliath, all of you into our hands. And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. And reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. And David ran and stood over him, and he took the hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from its sheath, and after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Okay. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. What's the problem there? What's the weird thing there? Goliath said, if you come out to fight me and you win, we'll surrender. We'll give up. We'll let you can be in charge. Is that what they did? No. David defeated Goliath according to the terms that Goliath had presented. And instead of surrendering, like Goliath said they were going to do, the Philistines turned and ran. This is what that shows me. The Philistines had no intention of following through on the challenge. Gasp. Here's the reality. Israel was fully capable of defeating the Philistines. We know this because they then followed through and defeated the Philistines. So the Israelite army was fully capable of winning that war. Israel didn't actually have to accept Goliath's challenge. They could have just stormed the army and fought. And no one on either side of that was actually going to follow through on the rules of the challenge. Do you think Israel was going to just surrender if Goliath won? Were the Philistines just going to surrender if Goliath lost? No. So why did they wait 40 days? Why did they stay there 40 days with this fake weird challenge thing going on? When neither side was going to follow through on the terms of the challenge. Fear. It was fear. Folks, the opposition that you are facing in your life is opposition from the enemy that doesn't want you to follow God's will, doesn't want you to follow the good things that God has for you. And he's going to look at the sin in your life, and the enemy is going to say things to you like, if you give that up, if you confess that to that person, your life will be over. You will lose everything. You won't be able to handle the other challenges that come. The consequences from giving that up, the consequences to confessing that sin. It's going to ruin your marriage. It's going to ruin your family. You're going to go to jail. Everything is going to be ruined. You're not going to be able to cope without that thing. The struggle is going to be way too hard. You're not going to be able to handle it. And it's going to end up costing you more and more and more. And you're just going to end up in a worse situation, beat down, alone, ashamed, guilty, taken over by it. There is no point for you to try to give up that sin because it's not going to work. It's not going to make a good difference, and you're just going to end up paying the cost yourself. You're taking this step of faith. God has called you to take this step of faith, this change, and the enemy comes along and says, you know what, that's not really God, that's just in your head, you're just making that up, you're going to take that step, and it's going to be the wrong move, and then God's going to be upset with you because you took the wrong step, and you made the wrong move, and now you're in this mess, and then God's going to be upset with you, and you're going to have to deal with the mess yourself because you took this step too early, and you're going to be guilty for and responsible for the mess that you've made, and for not listening really to what God was saying, and you know what, you're going to take that step, and it's not going to play out well. God doesn't really know what you're doing and what you should be doing, and is God even there? Is he really there? Are you sure? Because this is a big step. This is a big risk. There's got to be a better way. There's going to be an easier way. There's got to be some other path that you can walk that's going to be okay. And you're doing the right things, and you're doing what God is calling you to do. And the enemy comes along and says, you know what? You're not strong enough to handle this. You can't keep this up. You're too weak. You're all alone. You can't win this fight. You're not strong enough. You can't handle it. You haven't been able to handle it any other time in your life. Why do you think you can handle it now? And the enemy is saying all these things. And many other things he's saying to you, and it's Goliath coming out and saying, listen, if you can beat me, then fine, you can win, but you can't. You can't beat me. Let me tell you something. Are these ideas coming from God, or are they coming from the enemy? They're coming from the enemy. What does the enemy want for you? Does the enemy want your good? Does the enemy want you to succeed in life? Is the enemy just like, oh, I care so much about you. I just don't want to see you. I don't want to see you disappointed. Is that the enemy? Or is the enemy saying this stuff to manipulate you? Is the enemy saying this stuff because they know that they can't actually beat you? Do you know why Goliath went out and presented that challenge? This is my theory. I think Goliath went out and made that challenge because he knew the Philistines were going to lose unless he could scare them into defeat. I think Goliath knew the Philistines were outmatched. He knew they couldn't win in a front-to-front war. The only way they could win the battle is if he could scare them enough and he could somehow manipulate them and say, I'm big and I'm strong and I can beat that one guy. Goliath, I think, knew that if it was army against army, they'd lose. Goliath didn't come out going, I am a very humane person. Let us reduce the bloodshed. Why don't we just fight? No! No! He came because he thought that's the only way he could win. This is what I need us to understand here. The enemy isn't trying to help you when they talk to you. The enemy is not trying to help you when they speak to you. Again, I'm not talking about your personal goals. I'm not talking about whether or not you can buy that car or you can bench 600 pounds or whatever. I'm talking about when Satan and his minions are whispering to you, speaking lies to you, they are not somehow trying to make your life better. Do not fall for this idea that they are somehow trying to come up with a compromise that's going to work out better for everybody involved. That is not what they're doing. That is not how they operate. That is not Goliath on the battlefield. He isn't there saying, how do we all get along? He's saying, how do I win this fight and put you down? And when the enemy is whispering and shouting and screaming in your face, he is not doing it to try to help you. And the things he is saying are not there to make your life better. When the enemy speaks to you, he isn't trying to help you. So you take all those lies, you take all those words, you take all those challenges. Goliath comes up in your life, opposes you. You can't defeat that sin. That step of faith isn't going to work out. You might as well give up on the path in front of you. Just give up on it. Give it over. Don't bother with it. Goliath comes up and says, fight me and I'll give up. And you go, no. I didn't sign anything that said you get to make the rules. I didn't agree to your terms. I'm not agreeing to your terms. I'm not doing your little contest. I am here with the army of God, and we're taking over. And we have got to stop listening to the banter and the useless challenges that the enemy gives us. Because he isn't trying to help you. He isn't trying to give you the best option, the best way forward. He's trying to manipulate you into losing. We need to question everything the enemy says. We need to drown out what the enemy says. We need to listen to what God is saying and depend on what he is saying. And if you do that, and if you listen to God, and you drown out what the enemy says, and you are depending on God, if you are following God's lead and his word, you can be free of that sin. You can confess that sin, and you can find freedom and forgiveness and mercy and grace. And you will find that that sin doesn't have to define your future. That is the power of the cross, that by the shed blood of Jesus and his resurrection power, beyond just the legal system that says it's on your record and it's there forever, he says, no, your debt is paid, and I have a path forward for you. That you don't have to continue living in that sin. That sin isn't what keeps you alive, isn't what keeps you going, and you don't need it anymore. When you follow God and you listen to His words and not the enemy words, you'll find that you can come out on the other side of these steps of faith with Jesus stronger. You'll be filled with His grace, and you will see what only God can see right now. You're going to see that goodness, and you're going to see that change, and you're going to see that hope coming, and it's going to be real right in front of you when you take those steps of faith. If you continue and you don't flinch when the enemy comes at you and opposes you and tells you to give up, you will beat him. You will outlast him. You will take ground that the enemy has had claim on illegitimately for years, and you will take that back for the kingdom of God. And in that fight, because you are not fighting your fight, you are fighting with the God of the angel armies behind you, you'll win. The worship team is going to come up. They're going to do another 2-3 songs here. And it is this moment when we need to choose here today, folks. Whether you're going to continue listening to the banter and the lies of the enemy, or you're going to realize that he isn't trying to help you when he's talking to you. And you've got to depend on what God says to you, what he's leading you into. And you may be here, and maybe that means that you've got to confess something to God, or you've got to confess something to someone else. Maybe it's you've been battling something and you need to rally some people around you to pray for that thing, and you need to stop hiding it, or you need to stop pretending it's not there, or you need to stop trying to do it on your own, and you need to rally the army of God together, and you need to do battle, and you need to reject the lies of the enemy. Then you need to do that today here. Maybe you're up against opposition and you're just feeling like you can't fight this fight anymore. Then maybe this is a moment where you've got to confess that to God and you've got to give that over to Him. You've got to ask for His angels to support you. Maybe you're here and you've just got this big step of faith and you just need the assurance of God. You bring that to Him during these songs. You bring that to Him during the rest of this service. And if you need to rally people around you, if you need to call people together, and I don't care if you're on the worship team, you're doing sound booth, you're in the congregation, it doesn't matter. If you need to gather people together and pray and do battle here today and finally make the enemy shut up, because he is not speaking, trying to help you. And it's time to listen to what God says and win that fight. Let's do it. Let's do it. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that you may have life. And have it to the full.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.